saw Satan fall like lightning. I saw darkness run for cover. But the miracle that I just can't get over, my name is registered in heaven. I believe in signs and wonders. I have resurrection. Oh, hallelujah. It is our testimony, and you are welcome to the Daily Energizer, Daily Faith Boost. Glory, glory, glory to God. I trust you're doing well. I believe yesterday's episode was super, super helpful. I know today will be much more helpful. Well, I mean, yeah, we could use the word much more, digging deeper, all right, into the thoughts, into the, you know, the thinking that we need to have our minds upon, and then, hey, we just get better, better, better. All right, so we're learning how to fight the good fight of faith. We're learning to lay hold on eternal life. And just a quick backdrop, all right, 2 weeks ago, we began talking a lot more about eternal life. Well, we talked about it again. We've done that in a couple of weeks, you know, back, and then we've come into it, right, understanding the place of us moving from death to life. And then the last week, we talked a lot more about eternal life being our present position. But 1 Timothy 6 and 12, Paul says to Timothy, fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life. You know, to lay hold there is not passive. It's you seize it, you grab it, you catch it, all right? So if Bible says lay hold on eternal life, you have to seize it. You know, you could almost wonder, but it's mine. It's mine. Yes, it's yours, but we're in a world. Please get this. Bible says in 1 John that the whole world lies in wickedness, the whole world. We have been moved now from darkness into light, from death to life. We've been moved, all right? But John 17, remember Jesus said, I am not praying, Father, that you take them out of the world. So we've got a mission in this world. So we're in it. Things will happen supernaturally, and by the finished work of Jesus, we have been made immune. But the enemy, you know, would try to tempt us, would try to throw the thing at us. We are the one to resist. That's why we have the armor. Right? So you're not just walking free, you know, and like, hey, nothing. Remember that Jesus was tempted. Okay? So that means that things will happen to your thoughts will come. You need to knock them off. Not say, I don't know why I'm thinking this thought. I'm born again. The first set of thoughts you think don't always mean they're yours. Has God ever dropped something in your heart? Okay, it could come like a thought. Do you know you could knock away even what God said to you? I'm like, oh God, oh. You could even know, you know, they say, oh, God is telling me this. And then you ask them about it. Sometimes they've not done it. But God was telling him. So the same way when you have a negative or a contrary thought, a defeating, demoralizing thought, it doesn't mean you are the one thinking it. You know, we've had to, you know, make people feel, oh, you are suicidal. Oh, my goodness, you're suicidal. Oh, why? Maybe because the person said, oh, you know, I thought about committing suicide. No, you didn't think about it. It was suggested to you. You didn't think about it. Jesus stood, you know, at the high pinnacle, and I mean, at the height of a mountain, edge of it, and the thought of jump down. Yeah, we know the devil tempted him, so I'm glad the Bible called it a temptation. Jump down, God will send the angels to catch you. Jesus said, no, I'm not. So you need to understand that the first set of thoughts that come are not always yours. They become yours when you start meditating on them. They become yours when you voice them out. Oh, maybe I should jump down. I could jump down. I'm thinking about it. I really might. Then it's no longer, just something suggested. You're beginning to receive it. You know, Ken Hagin, said, more than once, but I mean, you can find it in like a book like Triumphant Church and all. You might not be able to stop a bird from flying over your head, but it can stop the bird from building a nest on your head. Thoughts will come. So yes, because you were hurt, something happened to you, and you thought of committing suicide doesn't make you suicidal. The moment you start saying, oh, I think I am suicidal, you just labeled something that might not have been, and the devil just found, a client, someone he can be supplying thoughts of suicide, and say, I'm thinking about it again. It's come again. The thought has come again. I just thought again, maybe I should kill. No, you get up from there and you say, in the name of Jesus, Satan, take your thoughts away from here. You get your thoughts away from here. I'm not suicidal. I don't have a business with suicide. Please understand this. The same way, guys, once again, the same way God has talked to his children in very many instances, and we all haven't acted on everything God said. So that lets you know that God could send thoughts to you. All right? And we should revere our Father's words much more than anybody's words. John 10, my sheep hear my words. They hear my voice. The voice of a stranger, they will not follow. The devil is a stranger. Don't let him put thoughts of, oh, you're just so wicked. See how you're handling those people. That's not the Holy Spirit talking to you. That's not the Holy Spirit talking to you. I think I won't make it through this season. Maybe just something's going to go. That's not the Holy Ghost talking to you. Those thoughts are not your thoughts. And it would do well if we go more and more to God's word and then fill our mind with the word of God. And that will help us to be able to, answer. All right. We've touched Psalm 23, for a few weeks here. Just, find the series. Okay. So how to find the series? You're listening to today's episode. Just click up there, right up there, Money Faith Boost. Then it takes you to the entire, catalog of Money Faith Boost. And then if you want all other things we've done on this speaker platform, then right up there, just click now where my name appears. And then you just appear to a storehouse of different, messages. They call them shows, all right? They label them with different shows. Just a storehouse of very many things you could listen to. So if you find, for instance, Spirit of Life Christian Center, right there, just go back to Money Faith Boost and go back up my name. Look through different shows. If I find Spirit of Life Christian Center, I could ask you, please listen to the last message uploaded, the last two messages, you find there. You will be blessed. I've been talking, about spiritual body, the natural man, spiritual man, carnal man. The last two messages would really bless you. All the messages you find there will bless you. Really. Really. All right. But kindly listen. All right. Last Sunday's message, last Wednesday's message, they will help you. And then you can follow on from there. So just follow. If you haven't, I want to encourage everybody listening, please follow. Is that all right? Just follow. So we've got authority. Jesus has paid the price. You and I, however, must put our foot down and say, hey, let me show you something from Deuteronomy chapter 1 and the 18th. Okay, I could just speak it straight from 18 then. And I commanded you at that time all things you should do. And when you depart from Horeb, right, we went through all that, the great and terrible wilderness, which you saw by the way, the mountain of the Amorites, the Lord our God commanded us, and we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said unto you, you are come unto the mountain of the Amorites, which the Lord give unto you. 21 now. Behold, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go in and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has said unto you. Fear not, neither be discouraged. See that the Lord God has set the land before you. Go in and possess it. Verse 8 was what I was going to make reference earlier, not 18. Verse 8, behold, I have set the land before you. Go in and possess the land which the Lord swore unto your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, to give them and to their seed after them. The Lord swore. He said, this land belongs to you. He's now telling the children, hey, I have set it before you. Go and possess it. But guys, you and I know they didn't just get there and tell the dwellers in the land, all right, so the Lord gave us this place. Check out. You know they had to fight. You know they had to march around Jericho. You remember all those things, all right? So the point here is these things have been given to you and I. You and I, therefore, would have to use our faith. We've got to take authority. We've got to stake our claim and say, this health is mine. So last Sunday, for instance, if you get the Spirit of Life Christian Center message, right, you find there, I think it's a good illustration that, you know, at least I know it helped. So you want to get into a place and then you're told, oh, there's an amount to be paid. You know there's an amount to be paid. Someone's paid the amount for you. You want to do something. Maybe it's a flight. Someone said, I bought the ticket. All right. And then you want to get on the plane and then they say, no, or whatever it is. But the example I used there was you wanted an entire place and then there was this bouncer right there. You know you've been paid for. You're told to check your name on the list and then go in. The ticket has been paid. And the bouncer says, no, you can't come in. But the ticket hasn't been, the bouncer says, no, you can't come in. So you're either like, oh, right, anyway, I'm very gentle, all is well. Let me just pay another, you know, and get right in. Or say, no, you're going to be cheating me. You're collecting money from someone, they're going to get money from someone else. I'm sticking my claim here. You know, if it looks like I'm making a mess, I'm going to stand here and make that mess. I'm going to make up my mind that, hey, you're not going to cheat me off this. All right, so yeah, I know a lot of gentle we will just go, but then a lot of no, I know my rights, we will say no. But let's bring it into spiritual things. Christ has paid the price. Isaiah 53, took him from it is, carried away our sicknesses. He took it all. So the sickness now comes on you, the symptom comes on you. You either carry it like nobody else has carried it before, or you stick your claim and say no. Jesus carried this. I refuse it. And then, well, you know, just go through the pain. You know, you've overworked yourself for a while and this and that. And then you expose yourself here and there. And maybe that's why. And this happened. And then all those reasons will come to try to say, just carry the pain. Carry the sickness again. But then you say, no, like a million times, no. I'm going to fight these symptoms to the last. I'm going to put my foot down. This is you knowing that something belongs to me and I'm laying hold on it. I am seizing it. I am grabbing it. This is mine. So we looked into Mark 5 yesterday, right? The story of the woman with the issue of blood and how that she heard of Jesus. Faith will come by hearing. We've got so many. Today is our 129th episode. That's a whole lot of stuff. Great stuff. All right. So she heard of Jesus, but she didn't stop at hearing. She said to herself, if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be made well. If I touch the hem of his garment, all right, I will be made well. If I touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made well. The Amplified Classic says, when she heard the reports concerning Jesus and she came up behind him, right, in the throng and touched his garment, for she kept saying, if I only touch his garment, I will be restored to health. She kept saying, and I said yesterday, she kept saying so she could keep going. I cannot try to imagine how many negative, contrary thoughts would have bombarded her mind, but I could, you know, try to think of the fact that it will be, there'll be too many from her in the house She steps out of the house. Her very first step from that house, I wouldn't know if she's had to leave that house for quite a while. So her very first step out of the house, wherever she's staying, her couple of steps, and then her having to catch up with the crowd, and then having to move through the crowd and thinking, would they smell anything? Would they see anything? Would they lynch me here? Would they, you know, and each moment she would have needed to keep saying to herself, I will touch. I will be well. So that drove her forward. Child of God, don't keep your mouth shut. Don't. Mark Hankins will say you cannot run towards your mountain with your mouth closed. You didn't hear that? You cannot run towards your mountain with your mouth closed, because that mountain is talking to you, telling you it's impossible, telling you it can't be done, telling you it won't be done. You know, this woman kept on saying, so we said there are words and then there are actions. She spoke, she moved, she spoke, she moved. Faith has corresponding action. So your faith is seen by your words and also by your actions. The guy who was paralyzed, whose four friends opened the tiling of the roof and let him down, Jesus, the Bible said Jesus saw their faith. So someone could get busy trying to talk faith, talk faith, talk faith. And that person, you just see faith by the person's action, because the person had spoken words and been full of the conviction and moved. So don't just be a talker. But in many cases, this talk we're discussing here is not mere talk. It's the renewal of mind. It's the fighting of thoughts. It's the speaking to the mountain. Please understand that. It is the new renewal of mind. It is the fighting of thoughts. It is the speaking to the mountain. Do you understand this? Jesus, all right, look at Mark 11 from verse 12. The next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. Look at verse 14. In response, Jesus said to it, let no one eat fruit from you ever again. In response. All right. NLT says, then Jesus said to the tree. All right. King James says, and Jesus answered and said. But why would that language be used? And I believe it's there so you learn something. When did the tree speak? Why is the Bible says saying, and Jesus answered and said to it? Or like NKJV, which we read earlier, in response. Obviously, the tree spoke. What did he say? You can't eat from me today. And then Jesus said, this is my answer to you. So your body will speak. Your bank account will speak. The business will speak. Things will speak and say, we're going down. We're crashing. We're crumbling. We're going down. We're going down. Respond to it. Child of God, respond to it. Oh, you've got to do it. Yes, you really have to respond. Don't let the thing have a last say. Keep speaking. Jesus said, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? Where will we be clothed? Don't take the thought by saying. Meaning your words can confirm what that thought brought to you, or your words can negate it. Take no thought, saying, don't, the thought came to you, but don't take the thought. Don't say what the thought wants you to say. Now, this is not, you know, us trying to tell you deny situation. No. And may I quickly say, sometimes the thought of go see your doctor might not be a thought of unbelief. That's the Holy Ghost who, you know, that could be the Holy Ghost who knows where you're at, where your faith is concerned, and knows what you might need to be aware of, and say, go see your Lord. Did you get that? You know? The Holy Ghost could tell you, go to bed right now. You say, I'm not sleeping yet, I have a lot to do. And you're saying, go to bed right now. He knows how you've pushed your body and how you've worked your body. And he says, hey, go to bed right now. Just lie there, shut your eyes and sleep. Let's come to, you know, I mentioned this about the classic story of David and Goliath. So 1 Samuel 17, verse 38. So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. So he also clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to the armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, I cannot walk with this. I have not tested them. So David took them off. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 5, they that are babes are the ones that are unskillful in the word of righteousness. All right? Unskillful. That means you need to become skillful in the use of the word, in the application of the word. I'm sure you've applied God's word and you've seen victory in an area. You know that feeling of, I got it. It came. It happened. Now, enjoy more of it by applying more. And then you become more and more skillful in how it works. Whether it's health, whether it's finance, whether it's favor, whether it's, you know, you become skillful by use. Don't sit there and keep saying, well, we're all at different levels of faith. We're all at different levels of faith. We all might be, not because that's how God started out the journey, but it's by how we get to exercise our faith. So don't stay where your faith has been. Keep moving it. Keep growing it, child of God. All right? So you prove it and then become more proficient at it. Please notice that David uses, you know, the sling and the stone here. But after now, you don't fight David every time they're going into battle. He says, I'm using sling. No, he became proficient with the use of a sword. Don't forget, this is David the warrior we're talking about. All right. So verse 40, then he took the staff, all right, his staff in his hand, and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and a sling in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. He took steps. All right. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield, all right, went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, you can imagine him looking left, looking right. Where's the guy? Where's the guy? Then he looks down like heel. He looked about and saw David. He disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. And David said, he said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, a spear, a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day, the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you, and I will take your head from you. And this day, I will give your carcasses, all right, to the camp of the Philistines, to the birds of the air, and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth will know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. See what David had to blast out. This is you responding to the devil. This is Jesus responding to the fig tree. He said, so things will speak to you. You say something. You say something through faith. We understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so the things which are seen were not created from things that appear. The worlds were framed by the word. What aspect of your life are you still just living and like it's okay? No, say something. Is it your body? Is it your back? Is it your nose? Is it what aspect of your body? What desire do you have? Is it about your health? Is it about childbearing? Is it what desire do you have about any? Is it marriage? You say something. Don't stand and say, you look in the mirror and I think I'm getting older. If anybody doesn't come, I'm okay. You know you're not. So don't say that. Correct it. Say, thank you, Father. You put the solitary in families. Thank you because I have my home. I'm happily married. I'm secure. I'm good. I'm fulfilled in my home. You know that's what you want. Say that. Don't say, well, listen, I know it's better to be single than to be in a wrong relationship and a wrong marriage. I know. But don't keep saying that. All right? You could say that when you're trying to counsel someone. You could say that when you're trying to advise someone or maybe try to answer a question. That's not what you should be feeding yourself with. It's better to be single. It's better to be single. That's what I'm saying. That's not what you, so you will have what you say. So say what you want to have. Please understand this. You will have what you say. Say what you want to have. So stop saying it's better to be single. It's just better. Say, is that what you want? No, then say what you want. You get a job today, they can fire tomorrow. Nothing's unstable. It's okay. Is that what you want? No. Then stop what you're saying. That situation is speaking to you and you might be agreeing. You're still single. Hey, it's better to be single. When you're having a consecration kind of conversation, either with yourself or with the Lord, it's fine. Lord, these options come right now. They're just so wrong. All right. I'd rather just be this way. But I thank you. End it. Oh, dear Lord Jesus. I believe this is helpful. All right. End it. Don't let the thing slide. Don't let it slide. End it with the word of God. Back to David and Goliath. All right. So it was when the Philistine arose and came, all right, and drew near, all right, to meet David. David hurried and ran toward him to meet him. Then David put his hand. So he took a step. David ran. David spoke. David ended the speaking. So the man spoke and David lashed him out. Dab, 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 dab. All right. And then he took what David said. No, this is my move. I'm finishing you here today. David ran to meet the Philistines. David put his hand in his bag, took out the stone, slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead. Okay. So yesterday I said, David finished speaking and ran. I left out or missed out the part that the Philistine made one move or he arose and came near, but David ran. All right. Corrected, please. Now, so that, it sank into his forehead and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistines with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in his hand. Don't forget, David had said, I will take off your head. There was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore, David ran and took over the Philistine and took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off the head of the Philistine. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. Now the men of Israel and Judah arose and shouted and pursued the Philistines as far as the entrance of the valley and to the gates of Ekron and wounded the Philistines. And the wounded of the Philistines fell along the road to Sharon, all right, even as far as Gath and Ekron. Then the children of Israel returned from chasing the Philistines and they plundered their nets. I'm going somewhere, all right? And I like this. This is verse 54. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem, right? And put his hammer in his tent. This is now testimony, spoil of war. When you're done defeating the enemy, when you're done staking your claim and enjoying that which is rightfully yours in Christ Jesus, that victory parade is exciting. You have the head of the enemy. All right. You said, I'm not going to get healed. I'm healed now. Do you get that? You have that victory thing in your hand. I won. But you speak, you move. Child of God, you speak, you move. You speak, you move, you speak, you move. Glory to God. I believe you're learning something. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. So announcement again. Yesterday, in case you heard or think, hear it well, I said we'll be pausing broadcast tomorrow. It will be our 130th. I'm not doing that because it's 130. It just happens that, it's 130th. I'd love to continue, really. But for maybe like 3 weeks, there's just been that need to pull back and withdraw and jump into certain things, withdraw first, pull in, hibernate, if I could use that word, all right? So, all right, hibernate if I could use that word. And our series keeps getting better. I'd love to keep being there to keep ministering to us, but there's just that need for, and when you sense those nudgings and it's something right, it's something of the Lord, pull back. I've had a bit of that happen in my life. And then you come out better, greater, stronger. He wants to reveal or say something to you. All right. So just picture it like, okay, so Moses needs to go up the mountain. All right. Kind of stuff. I could do pre-recordings and then, send them out. It's been on my mind, but it looks like no, don't do that. So I wouldn't want to move in that and keep say let's keep going. I trust you understand. You know, I trust you understand this. We have over 130, well, not 130 by tomorrow. And then if you, like I said, hit a money faith post, then you see my name. Hit my name. It leads you to a whole world of a couple of other messages. All right. You have the influence of the spirit. All right. We have Spirit Life Christian Center. You find very, very great stuff there. And please visit our website, LarryRexOnosonya.com. Please visit our website. You will find over 80 messages free. You could download free. So we're talking about like hundreds of teachings right here, guys. All right. Maybe like 200 or something going to 300. But then put everything together. Go to YouTube. You find videos. You will be blessed. All right. You'll be blessed. You will be blessed. You'll be blessed. And please follow. So once I hit up anything here, you get a notification and then we'll be fine. So I'll see you again tomorrow, right? Okay. So, but so much to digest. So let's go lay hold. All right. Let's go. Have a beautiful time. Have a beautiful day. All right. So I'll see you again tomorrow and enjoy God's blessings. Bye.
From death to life, 'cause grace rewrote my story. I'll tell